Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening and welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we're glad that you joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you, but first we want to thank some of the sponsors to help make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, the Charlie Wilson Insurance Agency, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Dafty's newest eatery, the waterfront restaurant at number 1 Yacht Club Drive, which is my official sponsor of my tirade, the Medicare lady, Miss Keisha Chambers, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. We'd like to thank all of our sponsors and our great listeners. We cannot do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. SBN is all about giving our veterans a choice on the issues that are important to them. So join the discussion on Facebook or follow Cal on Twitter. It's Cal at Cal_SBN. And you can always check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more info on the topics of the day. Later we'll be joined by Mr. David Blair, Director of the Office of Military Services at South Alabama. David is a veteran himself, and he will get us up to speed on all the services that South has to offer our veterans and the military members. It's really unbelievable, guys, with the information this gentleman has. But first, it's always a great pleasure to be joined on SBN by a great patriot and a friend to our veterans, Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to SBN, brother, and thanks for all that you do for our veterans and their precious families.
Well, it's my my pleasure. I think veterans of this country should be atop the food chain, and they're the greatest Americans ever.
Man, I tell you, it's really a pleasure to be able to work with people like yourself. And it seems like at my age and all of the veterans that I'm associated with, I get a phone call weekly on. Some of our precious patriots and veterans that are passing, but all of our vets in World War II and the Korean War, and all those guys are just about gone, and then a lot of our Vietnam vets are well on their way as well. Are you cooking something for us?
Beg your pardon?
Are you cooking something for us?
No, I'm good.
Either that or you're washing dishes.
I got held up over here, so I couldn't make it to the studio as much as I'd like to see you guys.
Well, it's okay, brother. Well, tell me something. You got a lot of renovations going on out at Serenity. What the heck are y'all doing?
Well, we're renovating our chapel.
I thought it was awesome.
We're very, very proud of our chapel. It's, actually the largest funeral chapel of any funeral home in Alabama.
Ooh.
And
it sure is.
we're renovating, we're getting new pews. I have reached out to many church organizations to see if anyone would like to have our old pews.
Ain't nothing wrong with those. They're nice.
Well, you know, I've got 38 12-foot pews.
Hmm.
Someone said, "How much you want for them?" I said, "I'll sell all of them for a dime."
No, in other words, come get them.
Come get them. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're painting new carpet, new pews. You know, that chapel has been established almost 40 years, and so it is time to renovate. And so we're in the process of doing that starting next week. And
okay.
So it's going to be beautiful when we get through with it. But like anything else in life, it's a little pain to get where we need to be.
Well, that's so true. But you had such an awesome facility, and the uniqueness of the size of it was just unbelievable, the amount of people that it would hold, and the large families that were able to get together in there and communicate with each other such a bad cause, but at the same time, it was a worthy location to be. Now, how long do you think it will take you to complete that renovation?
We're looking at 3 weeks. We'll move all of our general services to our event center. We can seat 100 people there,
right?
Which is, you know, smaller than our chapel. Our chapel can seat about 350.
Woo!
350 to 375, and so it'll be a temporary measure, but it will get us through what we need to get done.
Yeah, but that, as you say, the chapel's been there for, 40 years?
Yes, sir.
Darn. Well, your event center back there, it's new. It's only been there for a few years, hasn't it?
It's been there about almost nine years. Beautiful facility. It's we utilize that for families that want to receive visitors for a meal after a service. You know, most people don't have a home to seat
right.
50, 60, 70 people.
No.
And so,
and or feed them if they wanted to, you know?
And so they can utilize this. The beauty of it is when it's over, you just get up and walk out.
There's no
cleaning up.
There you go. Yeah.
And so that in itself is a huge bonus for our families.
Well, now, that being said, the uniqueness in the event center is size of it is one thing. It is very modern in its style and painting and all the furniture and all that's in there. But I know we had a 85th birthday event there for our brother Bob from Bob's Speed Shop, and mm-hmm. you actually had a little room over to the side where we had the caterer come in and put the food and all, and then we were able to feed people and have lunch there.
Sure. You know, our only requirement really is to have a licensed food provider.
Right.
You know,
okay.
This day and age, I can't afford Aunt June to bring her chicken salad.
You don't want me and Grandma bringing our food, man. Now you can't get involved with that with the conditions of all the lawyers that are looking for cases this day and time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we want to provide for our families, but you know, we've got to take care of things as well. So.
Right. Does it cost any more to have a service at the funeral home than it is at a church, let's say?
No, actually, it's less expensive to have it at the funeral home versus a church. You know, a lot of people have the misconception that it should be cheaper, but, you know, I'm tying up personnel all day or at least half a day at a church, whereas at the funeral home, they can be providing services to other families during that time.
Okay.
So it is a slight increase for church services, but, you know, we want to accommodate families, whatever their need is, we're going to provide.
Well, you have an awesome facility there, and you're able to take care of all the music that is desired for a ceremony. And also, it's just advantageous for families to be able to do that when they certainly don't have the room at home or maybe
sure.
in their size of church. But, yeah, most of the pastors usually come to the chapels and perform the services there. So that's it's very unique as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, big man. I tell you what, we appreciate all that you you do for our veterans and their families and all in their time of need. And they just need to get in touch with Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens when they're with whatever their needs may be. Is that so true?
Sure, absolutely.
Give me a phone number.
We're available to answer any questions. You know, so many times people, this is new to them.
Right.
You know, actually, this is one of the things in life you don't want to get good at is, you know, arranging funeral services for your family.
Right. And, that is
know,
so,
so
true.
Many times people go almost 20 years before
yeah.
They have to make arrangements for a loved one.
All right,
so
brother.
We're here for them to explain to them their options and whatever's best for them.
Thank you, sir. Glad to have you on board tonight. Got a hard break. Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Gentleman from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens.
Hit a lick against what's wrong. Say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And if you like to listen on demand, you can also catch us on FM Talk 106.5 app for your smartphone, and my tirades are up on castbox.fm if you want to get your blood pressure up a little bit. And it's a pleasure to be joined on SBN by the Director of the Office of Military Services. Ooh, that's a big title. Out at University of South Alabama, veteran David Blair, retired Sergeant Major. Welcome to SBN, and thank you for your service, brother.
Absolutely. Glad to be here, Tom.
Man, I tell you, it's a pleasure to have you on board. I've had a chance to meet you and get a look around at some of the things that you've got going on out at your facilities. And just got to get the information out to our veterans and all the other people here in the South Alabama area to let them know that this service is even available out at the University of South Alabama. But David is a director there. But David, give me a little insight on what is the Office of Military Services out. What do you do?
So absolutely. So our office takes care of all of our veteran population, all of our military affiliated students. We do all of the GI Bill processing for those students that are taking classes, whether they're online or on campus. It's just basically our job to take care of our military-affiliated students, and that's what we do.
Well, so let's say that we've got a veteran that's out of service, and he doesn't know what benefits he has the rights to and what's available for him out there at college. Does he need to are you the man he needs to contact or contact your office?
Oh, absolutely. We can take him through all the processes. We do a lot of benefit counseling. There are a lot of benefits, as you know, that our veteran service members and their family members don't even realize that they're eligible for.
Right. Yes.
So we try to take them through that process and make sure that they're receiving the benefits that they've earned, and making sure that, you know, we have a lot of veterans who are disabled veterans that have the ability to use the what we call the Veterans Readiness and Employment Program that they're not, you know, that they're just not versed on. And so We try to take them through that process, help them with their disability claims, just do everything that we can do on our side to get them into the education system so that they can use those education benefits that they've earned. Because so many of them just go, you know, and they leave service and they never use their benefits.
Right, right. That is so true. Well, you know, one of the reasons that I got involved with you is the fact that I've got a young veteran that had questions about whether or not he even had GI Bill or even had the benefits of education, and he didn't think he did. But then after getting in touch with you, and we had a chance to forget you y'all together, we found out that the young gentleman does have the ability to utilize the educational services that are available at Sal, right?
Absolutely. There, many times when they leave service, you know, there's one thing in their mind, and that is getting out of there.
Totally.
They've served. You know, they've been to war. Some have, some haven't. But they've served their time, and they've gotten out, and now they're just, you know, a lot of times they don't really listen to the briefings that they receive at the end of their service time. They're just concentrated on one thing, getting out.
Going. Oh, they get a mental block, David.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
We get a mental block. We got one thing on our mind. I'm going to get the hell out of here. I'm going home, baby. Yeah.
That's exactly
Stop
right.
the world. I'm getting off.
You got it.
And, you know, and that's so true. But we also see a lot of times that our veterans are so anxious to get out, they don't even go through the process of letting the military branch of service that they're in know what their problems are and what their disabilities are because they're afraid they're going to make them stay over 2, 5, or 6 months. And and extend their time while they're going through all that, and he says, "Oh hell no, I'm just going home." You know,
that's right. And so
do you see a lot of that?
I see a lot of it. I see a lot. I even see Vietnam era veterans. I've seen World War II veterans who never filed a disability claim.
Amen.
I've seen it. You know, from Iraq and Afghanistan through the Gulf War through. All these different things, and they get out and they say, well, you know, I had a friend who lost a leg, or I had a friend who, you know, has severe PTSD, so I don't deserve that.
Right.
But everybody that served deserves the right to receive the benefits that they've earned. And
yes.
So a lot of them just don't understand it. And it may be, you know, you may have a 10% disability for, you know, where you've got your knee hurt or your back was injured or you have tinnitus, you know, from
right.
a hearing loss or
right.
whatever. And that 10% is going to give you benefits that you had no idea that you were eligible for.
Holy
you know,
cow.
And there's just so many different things out there that are available, and that's part of our job is to make sure that if we can get our hands on them, that we want to make sure that they're getting the benefits that they deserve.
Right.
And,
well,
you know, our job is really about getting these veterans and these service members as well, you know,
right.
And we have a lot of Coast Guard members and National Guard members in the area and their dependents. We want to get them in and let them use those benefits, meet their educational goals, use those benefits that they've earned. So it's really
right.
important.
Well, and that's awesome. You know, a lot of them don't realize that that's even available to them as we were talking about before. Now, you know, And I'm going to talk to you some more after we go to our break and get a little bit of insight on about who you are, where you've been and what you've done, and maybe some of the other schools that you've been at. So I think it will enlighten a lot of our people about the experience level that that they're reaching when they come out and talk to you and your people.
Absolutely.
But it's really neat to know that, it's just like, let me back up. When you get out of service and you don't get out with any disability, and like I did when I got out, it was, as far as I knew, there was nothing wrong with me besides being crazy, being a Marine. But I've never been able to overcome that, but that's, thank God, you know. I had a precious lady that I married, and she had to train me, you know. But she had to raise my kids and me too, so you know how that goes. But we see that so much, but they don't realize that if you do have some form of disability, where in my case, I was in a artillery group in an Honest John rocket outfit. Well, we had a rocket 23, 24 feet long that fired off of the back of a 5-ton truck off of a rail. And, you know, so we all got exposed to some unbelievable sounds and things that hurt our ears. And there was, you know, when I finally did go and file a claim to get the VA to check my hearing and stuff, they said, well, what kind of sophisticated hearing devices did you have? I said, well, if you call my two fingers stuck in your mouth and wet them and stick them in your ears, that was what we had. You know?
Right.
We didn't have any of this other stuff. We didn't have earphones or sound depressors or all the above. You know, we stuck our fingers in our ears and turned our back to it. And then, you know, now, that being said, I didn't have any benefits to mount anything through the GI except my GI Bill, I guess. I had could have got a loan for my house. But then as far as anything else, I didn't have that much. And a lot of people are told, no, you make too much money or you're not entitled to any benefits. Well, when you file that claim and they give you that 10% for tinnitus, you are a disabled veteran.
Right.
Then you are in – what does that entitle you to?
Well, under that VR&E program, you know, if you meet the criteria, obviously, there are some things that go along with that. But, you know, if you're not employed or if you're underemployed, you know, then there's opportunities to look at for you to go in and get a degree or even vocational training if you want to.
Cool.
And let the VA pay for that tuition. They'll pay you a living allowance, you know, each month, you know, to help you along the way. And so, you know, it's just some great opportunities for our veterans to be successful. And, you know.
It is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And all that's available out there. And most of our guys have no knowledge of it whatsoever.
And the University of South Alabama, you have to realize that what President Bonner and what Dr. Kent have embarked on in creating this Office of Military Services is to really enhance all of the things that we have on campus,
right,
and bring everybody together. Not only that, you know as well as I do that I've been out a lot in the community to use our community resources because we have the opportunity to advocate for the veterans,
right,
and have referral services. So we want to be able to send them to the right places. If we can't do it on campus, we want to be able to do it off campus,
whatever it is. All right.
Hold on.
We're going to a hard break, and we'll come back, and we'll have another 8 or 9 minutes here. But you can always go to Scuttlebutt Network for some more information. And on the other side of the break, more with Director David Blair from the Office of Military Service at South Alabama when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
Men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Book.
Soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans. And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible. The battleship, USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyers, Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Miss Keisha Chambers, the Medicare lady, Daphne's newest eatery, the waterfront restaurant at 1 No. 1 Yacht Club Drive, the Charlie Wilson Agency, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And again, we're speaking with the director of the Office of Military Services at South Alabama, our veteran and retired Army veteran, David Blair. And thank you for joining us, David. And again, there's so many areas that we wanted to discuss here in this segment, but let's enlighten our listeners as to some of your background, as to who you are and what you've done, and where you retired from the service from, and the other schools that you've been in.
Absolutely. So I joined the military, joined the Army right out of high school, and I spent a little over 24 years in. I retired in late 2007, and immediately went to work at Mississippi State University in the Sonny Montgomery Center for America's Veterans there, and worked there about 4.5 years. And then Dr. Judy Bonner, then the provost at the University of Alabama, asked me to come to the University of Alabama and start their program. So for the last 14 years, I worked at the University of Alabama in Veteran and Military Affairs as a director there. And I came to the University of South Alabama in September. And so we've been pretty fast and furious since then. Yeah. And really developing the military services programs on campus and getting the continuity of our community across campus and in the community to do what we need to do to take care of our veterans on the Gulf Coast.
Well, it's extremely enlightening to be able to get you aboard here and be able to get the information out to our veterans. We have a tremendous veteran listening audience out here with this show because we are the only one on the Gulf Coast, and we're a 50,000 watts FM station. We have, potentially 70-something thousand to 80-something thousand veterans just in this in our listening range. So it's a good group of guys, and it could benefit from a lot of the services that you have there that they're not aware of.
Absolutely.
How do these guys how do they get in touch with you? What's your contacts? Do they just drive out there, and what building would they go to, or they need an email? Give us a little insight on some of that.
Plenty of opportunities, Tom. And one thing I want to say about this is, you're number one, we all know you're never too old to learn. So we got students from 18 years old all the way up to 60 years old who are in service or veterans, National Guard, reservists, their family members. So don't ever think it's too late to start.
Right.
Use those benefits. And then so for us, if you go to the University of South Alabama's website, you can just type in vets and it'll pull up the military services office, or you can email us at vets@southalabama.edu. You can call the office anytime you like, and that's a 251-460-6230.
Okay.
And we'll be glad to link you with the admissions office, with our adult learners office. You can come out and take tours on campus, lots of great things. And we, on April the 3rd, we're getting ready to have our very first military-related students resource fair.
Cool.
And so we're going to have community partners along with our university partners on campus. We're going to be doing that on April the 3rd from 10 to 2 in the student union ballroom. And you can call our office to get the details where you can park. If you're thinking about coming to school, if it's a possibility or you just want to explore the opportunities, we'd love to have you come. You don't have to be a current student. We want you to come, check out what we got. You know, we'll be glad to set things up for you and get you started from scratch and help you through the process. A lot of people never even have applied to use their GI Bill benefits. So, you know, you got to get that established, too. So lots of things to think about.
Right. Well, you know, in the area that I was trying to reach to is so many of our guys aren't aware that they actually have those benefits.
Right.
I think they were, a lot of them were either improperly advised at the time of discharge from the active duty, or they were so engrossed in trying to get out of there, they just it went right over their head. So,
yep.
And then they've had no place to explore this to determine whether or not they had any benefits that were available to them that would maybe help improve their lives and their learning power and maybe a better job, you know?
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. And there's opportunities, for those who may have hit their delimiting date for their benefits. Maybe they had the old Chapter 30 GI Bill and, you know, they're past their date to be able to use it. Don't give up at that point. Let's look at opportunities for other benefits that are out there that you may receive. And then, you know, and of course, the best kept secret out there is the Alabama Dependent Scholarship. And so, you know, that's something.
What the hell is that? See, I've never even heard of that.
Absolutely. Something that's not advertised. So if you join service in Alabama, right, and you have a 40% disability or more, then your dependents can receive the Alabama Dependent Scholarship, okay?
Right.
And so there are a lot of individuals who join the National Guard or Reserves in Alabama, come up with a disability over the years, or joined active duty service, left Alabama to serve, came back, but they joined here, and they're now residents of the state, right?
Right.
And so there's some things that you need to look at. On our website, you can see the Alabama Dependent Scholarship and what you need to qualify. But there are so many dependents who are eligible for that don't know it.
Right,
and
right.
Their parents have no idea that it's even out there.
Yep.
Well, we'd love to help them figure that out, because if they're able to get that, then that's going to mean a tremendous amount of money toward their tuition and books. And so the opportunities are out there. The opportunities are kind of endless when it comes to that.
Well, that's so true. Correct me if I'm wrong. In the past, if you had 20% disability, they would be entitled to that.
That's right. That's right. And they changed it to 40.
Changed it, everybody thought they lost it altogether.
Yep. That's right. And you know, there are some things in legislation now that there may be a possibility that goes back. We don't know what that looks like yet out of this session, but we'll kind of see. I know they're looking at changes with Alabama Dependent Scholarship. I don't know what they all entail as far as what's been introduced in the House and Senate. So I guess, you know, we'll see how that rolls out. And, you know, we got one of our people, Mr. Nick Laucus, is in Montgomery right there battling for us. And so, you know, he's keeping an eye on what gets passed and what affects the university and what affects our students. And so, you know, we'll firsthand know what's going on. So that's why we're such a great resource to come to when you're talking about benefits at that federal, at the federal and state level, you know, because we're versed in that. And I got some great young ladies working in my office. And so they are.
I had a chance to meet them. And a couple of those ladies came with you when we went down to the Veterans Court. To see some graduations there from the Veterans Court, and some promotions within the court area. Some of the guys that are moving forward with their training, and it was a pleasure to meet these young ladies. Actually, both of them had been married to a veteran at one time, right? Or not?
That's right. Lauren, my assistant director, she lives over in Daphne, and her husband is in the Air Force Reserves, and then. Catherine, who is my compliance manager, her husband is the Air Force recruiter, active duty Air Force recruiter in Mobile.
All right.
And so they're there. And we just hired another young lady who has been at the university before. And Kaylee is prior service, Army medic.
Okay.
And so she's working there in the office too. So we got some great people with some, you know, some military background, and, you know, they can talk the talk.
Right. Right.
Know, they've been there, they've walked the path. And so it makes a huge difference when you have staff who knows,
amen,
you know, what the language is and what's going on and who to talk to and how things work, you know.
Well, that's true. Well, vets can always help vets, you know, seem like better than others. But now we're about to run short on time again. But if you would, how about hanging on the phone, unless you have something real important the other do. And if we'll come back here, and we're going to hear my tirade. And some commercials. And when we come back, we'll probably have two minutes or so, or 3 minutes, that we can close out on maybe any subject that you think we might have overlooked or something that we need to hit. But one of the things I really want to hit is all of the websites, phone numbers, and et cetera. And we'll get back to that shortly.
Absolutely.
All right. And you can always go to Scuttlebutt Network for more information. And when we return from on the Scuttlebutt.
Necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Newsflash. New studies have shown that as the military prepares to put more female troops in the ground combat units, the VA can expect more of those females to be hit with injuries that are consistent with being boots on the ground. I wonder how much damn money they wasted on that. The study says that while no one can yet say what that really means in terms of increased costs for treatment or disability payments, both the Army and the VA believe that women will be at greater risk for musculoskeletal injuries. I mean, come on. That must have had some damn geniuses working on this stuff. One of them, Dr. Sally Haskell, VA Deputy Chief Consultant for Women's Health Services and Director of Comprehensive Women's Health, said, "I don't think there is a way now to say exactly what the experience will be, but I expect as more and more women go into these physically demanding roles, we may see an increase in these injuries." Sheer damn genius. That's tantamount to saying that the Air Force would likely have an increase in sprained ankles if they actually had to run their physical fitness test instead of taking them on a damn computer. Of course, advocates for women serving in direct combat units say the problem may be overcome without lowering standards by improving training and fitness, while critics say nothing is more to change the fact that women are not built to be in the infantry. Just ask the Marines. They recently abandoned their 3 pull-up PFT requirements for women. 3 damned pull-ups. That's okay, honey. There's always the wild blue yonder. Haskell also said the VA already has begun ramping up services for women, including establishing a group of physicians, you better get a bunch of them, that are experts in women's health care. This program specifically includes sessions in musculoskeletal health. Women generally in and out of the military incur musculoskeletal injuries at rates at least somewhat higher than men, she said. That makes perfect damn sense. Let's put additional stress on the people most likely to be injured by the additional stress. Haskell was not the only genius consulted on this project. Dr. David Seafew, the VA's National Director for Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation, said last year that women carrying the same loads as their male counterparts in the infantry risk more of those kinds of injuries, given the ratio of their size and strength to the packs. A typical infantry soldier carries a load of about 80 pounds. Let me translate that for you. A 200-pound male carrying an 80-pound pack is less likely to be hurt than a 120-pound female trying to hump the same damn pack. And I might add, he is more likely to end up carrying either A, the other pack, B, the other soldier, or C, both when the other soldier breaks down in the field. Now, before you go all code pink on me, let me say that I have no problem with women serving in our military. They play a vital role in our success on the battlefield. However, no amount of social experimentation with our military by the progressive left will change the fact that men and women are not created equally, thank God, when it comes to their physical attributes. The Buck 20 beauty queen is not meant to carry that 80-pound pack any more than the star quarterback is meant to carry a bouncing baby to full term. Or as retired Rear Admiral Hugh Scott said, as long as women are going to have babies, their pelvis is designed as a birth canal. It's designed for that to happen. It's not conducted to heavy load bearing. No amount of Charlie Foxtrot committee meetings will change this fact. And for the most part, I don't want them to. And no, this is not where I go all Phil Robinson on you and tell the women to get back in the kitchen all barefoot and pregnant, okay. However, I have enough common sense and social decency to understand that while there are some women, very few, who can tackle the challenges of life in a ground combat unit, the majority are not built to last in this environment. By allowing politicians and social progressivists, most of whom have not served in uniform, much less experienced ground combat, to manipulate our women in uniform to push a social progressive agenda is alarming and destructive to the faith that these women must have in their leadership throughout the chain of command. Those in favor of women in combat will, of course, claim that this is all about women's freedom, emancipation, and empowerment. Ironically enough, these same claims were used by the makers of Virginia Slims, the cigarette brand that was induced and marketed to young women in the 70s and 80s with the slogan, You've come a long way, baby. Of course, they were selling death and disability along with this newfound equality. Ironically, every course on leadership in the military focuses on the fact that as a commander, the welfare of your troops is the number one concern outside of the completion of the mission. Most often, the two can be accomplished without compromise. However, with the current crop of bureaucrats in Congress and Obama in the White House, combined with leadership in the military that has been purged into prostration, it is our military men and women in this particular case that stand to suffer. Actually, that should be stand up, ruck up, and step out to suffer. You may have come a long way, baby, but there are still miles to go on this hump, and the politicians plan to ride you to the very end. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Now step it out. Hey.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, welcome back to the to the Scuttlebutt Network here with you tonight on 106.5 FM, and we have the gentleman on board. I guess you're still there, David.
I'm still here, sir.
Okay. All right, I didn't know he might got a man hung up.
Oh, no, I enjoyed it.
he hadn't heard one of my tirades, so he didn't know what page I was coming from. But anyway, we just tried to get the truth out according to a vet, you know, an old Marine. So I was in service in the 50s, 56 through 59 through into 62, prior to Vietnam, and I just was never exposed to any of this during that period of time, so it's kind of hard for me to chew on, you know, this deal. But let's get back to the awesome topics of discussion here with Mr. David Blair, the director of the University of South Alabama Office of Military Service. How about your application process? What does that entail? What does a vet need to do in that regard, David?
Right, really. So going through the application process is pretty easy. So anyone wanting to apply can go to southalabama.edu and hit apply. It's pretty easy. Or you're welcome to contact our office and we'll walk you through step by step. And we've got an individual that works in our adult learners program, and he's great. And Bob does a wonderful job at inundating these students to know what to do. And so we've got all kinds of avenues. So they're welcome to just go to the University of South Alabama website, and there's a button right there to apply, and there's a button there to take tours, or you can just look up the vet's office, and we'll take you through the process.
Well, tell me about the tours phase of it now. What do you got to do to get a tour?
All you got to do is southalabama.edu/visit and go to that website right there, that link.
You're right.
And they can put in the information. Our guides will take you across campus, can explore everything from the student rec to the wellness center to dining facilities to everything, our academic buildings, all of our support services. It's a great way to get to campus, take a look, and just find you a home away from home, basically.
Okay. Well, so what we're saying is, if you are a vet and you've got an honorable discharge, but also sometimes the general is still okay?
That's right. It just depends on what those reasonings are. So we just need to, think about looking at those DD-214s. If you have one out there, bring them to us. Let us take a look. Let's talk with the VA. Let's see what you're eligible for. And then we can go from there.
Okay. So, in other words, the vet just needs to take the initiative to contact you guys and either by the phone number of that 251-460-6230 or go to on email on a computer of vets@southalabama, that's all one word, .edu. Then he just takes the initiative to do that. And then y'all going to walk him through anything that he needs to know and answer any questions that he may have.
Yes, sir. From applying to applying to the university, to applying to their GI Bill benefits, you know, taking them through whatever process we need to get them there, transferring their military credits into college credits.
Well, wait a minute now. What did you say?
Transfer your military credits that you've earned on the job. So each job skill, it's called the American Council on Education, has transfer credits that the university has the ability to transfer into college credits. So you may have been a police officer on active duty, and you may want to get a criminal justice degree. So some of the credits that you earned by the training that you received in the military will revert over to college credits.
Damn it, boy, that's cool.
That's right, courses that you won't have to take, that you may already have hours of courses that you don't even know that you have.
Okay. So then something like that would apply. Now, don't they have, some of the guys have taken some college credits while they were in service. And those will carry forward too?
Yes, sir. Transfer most of those over. It depends what degree program you're taking, but you have the ability through our transfer services program, the academic advisors will meet with the student, go over their transcripts that they have from other colleges. You know, a lot of us travel around. Like I was at Fort Hood, Texas. I took classes from Central Texas College when I was stationed there. So, you know, you may take classes. A lot of our students take classes online. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you don't have to just come to campus. There's online opportunities as
all
well.
All right. Give me your contact points again.
All right. It's David Blair. Phone number is 251-460-6230. Or you can reach our office at vets@southalabama.edu.
David, what a blessing. We need to get you back on here soon. You've just loaded with information, and our vets need to be aware of their benefits. God bless you, brother. Appreciate what you're doing for our vets, and we'll be talking again.
Thanks for having me on, Tom.
All right, brother. That brings us to close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Radio Program. Voice of the Veteran for Veterans, thank you for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And a huge thank you to all of our great supporters and sponsors. And remember, hero is not a four-letter word.